Thank you, and I'm going to be talking about microbiology, which I teach at California State University, Sacramento, and share with you a few things that maybe you also will find useful when you try to get the attention of people of what solar cookers can do. And I'm going to show you also how Mama Solar, as you just saw, she knows how to do microbiology with my mobile microbiology laboratory, which I will show you that all of you could do some serious microbiology of water testing in your developing countries, show you how to do that. Now, the problem, of course, with health is that there are lots of diseases that are caused by contaminated water. And when you go to places like this, there are about 1.1 billion people in the world, over half in sub-Saharan Africa, that don't have safe water to drink. And those are from rural Tanzania. This is from Dar es Salaam in Tanzania, where it's an open water source. Is that safe to drink or not? And here in Dar es Salaam also, collecting water to do some testing. Is that safe or not? And if the water is not safe, how can contaminated water be made safe to drink? And this is where we take some principles of food microbiology, which have been out there for over a century. And everybody knows about milk pasteurization. Well, here are the times and temperatures. 71.7 for 15 seconds will kill all the disease organisms in milk. And you don't need to do any more than that with water. And when we take a look at other food pasteurization conditions, around 60 degrees Celsius, 140 Fahrenheit, for a few minutes will pasteurize eggs, kill off salmonella bacteria, including the types that would cause typhoid fever. Now, in food microbiology, we have a lot of data about the inactivation rate. How rapidly do bacteria get killed with various types of temperatures? And we use a D value as the time in minutes or seconds to cause a 90% kill, to go from 1,000 to 100, or 100 to 10, or 10 to 1, or 1 to 0.1. And when we take a look at the temperatures, what are those microbes that cause disease in water? And some of them are parasites that by about 55 degrees Celsius, within a minute, you'll get a 90% kill. And with most of the microbes that cause disease, the bacteria, some strains of Escherichia coli, cholera, typhoid, Shigella, and then the rotavirus, by 60 degrees Celsius, within a minute, you get a 90% kill. Hepatitis A virus takes 2 minutes at 60 degrees Celsius and one at 65. So I've had a bunch of students at California State University, Sacramento, that have helped me over the years, and we've done a lot of these types of tests. And basically, some of the things we'll do is we'll add 100,000 Escherichia coli bacteria per milliliter to water that we've heated here at 65 Celsius, and at various times, we'll pull out the sample and see how many are left. And when we do this type of work, what we find is that at 60 degrees Celsius, starting with 100,000 bacteria when they're too numerous to count, in about 2 minutes, you're down to just one. If you're at 62 degrees Celsius, in about 2 minutes, then you're down to one. And when we're at 65 degrees Celsius, within a minute, you've gone from 100,000 to zero. So these temperatures really get after microbes. And so when we take a look at the D value, the time to reduce 90%, you get up to 65 degrees Celsius, and you're really getting after these things. So they don't have to be there a long time. So we published this actually 20 years ago, that if you heat water to 65 Celsius, you will have enough time and enough temperature to take whatever contamination is there and take it down to zero. And we actually published this back in 1984. And when you're actually heating in a solar cooker, and we're starting with 100,000 bacteria per mil here, and we're heating on a hot plate, 55, 56, every 2 minutes we're going up 1 degree Celsius, you start to see when you get to the high 50s, now we're starting to see visible colonies, maybe a couple of hundred. And at 59 degrees, we're down to 12. Another 2 minutes, we're at 60, we got nothing. But we're going to go all the way up to 65 Celsius, and then we're going to let it cool down. We're going to take whatever is there and take it to zero. That's what you want to do. And to just show you what this is doing at 65 Celsius, with heated water at 65 Celsius, let's drop in a little bit of egg white and see what happens to that. And after 30 seconds, it's starting to cook. And after 60 seconds, it's cooked. It's changed from clear to white. And what that does is it changes the shape of proteins. It unfolds the proteins, the heat does, so that when it cools down, it can't go back together. And with bacteria then, it's the enzymes, the protein enzymes that they have that get unfolded, that are ruined, right? It kills them. With viruses, viruses have protein coats outside, and again, the heat unfolds those, so they can't go back together. That's why bacteria and viruses are killed by this type of heat. You don't need to get boiling. Now, how can you verify then that you've gotten to 65 degrees Celsius? And I worked with a couple of people then. I knew what I wanted, but I didn't know how to get it. And two other people came up with the idea then, use this water pasteurization indicator, which we call the WAPI. Okay? And the WAPI is just a polycarbonate tube with a wax in it that melts at 65 degrees Celsius. It's sealed at both ends, and it has a washer on the bottom, because when you're solar heating in water, the bottom is the coolest part of the container then. The top might be 5 degrees Celsius higher. So you put this in a container, and if the water heats enough to melt the wax, it's going to fall to the bottom as it does over here on the right-hand side. So now we've got a WAPI, our water pasteurization indicator, and we've had it so that the WAPI wax melts then at 65 degrees Celsius. So if the WAPI wax melts, your water is going to be safe to drink. So let's put this together then and go out to these places like in Nyasa District in Tanzania. And when gentlemen collect water, it's going to be for sale. This is a business that they have. And it's a very hard business then of pushing this into the town to see if anybody's going to buy that water, pay a few shillings for it. And at the guest house that I was staying at with my friend from Australia, that's our water. It comes directly from the river. And that's what the water comes from the rest of the town. Now, as a microbiologist, I'm just delighted to have that water delivered right to my door. We're going to get that water, and we're going to show how to test that water. I'll show you that in a minute. And then we're going to heat the water in our cooker. And unlike in cooking, we're just going to get to 65 Celsius, so we don't need to put in a plastic bag. So we heat the water in a solar cooker, and in a couple hours, if it's about 3 hours, if it's 4 liters or 5 liters, you get to the 60 degrees Celsius, you melt the WAPI wax, and then we do the microbiology. And this is what I'm going to introduce you to pretty soon. This is what happened before. So we heated the water, those blue colonies of bacteria, Escherichia coli that come from feces, and after we heat it, we kill off everything. So, and also, if you're going to recommend that people use a disinfection or sterilization, pasteurization process, well, you better drink that water yourself. And so my friend Christine and I, for the 2.5 weeks we were there in Manhuzi, in the Nyasa District, that's what we did. We cooled the water down, and we drank it. We knew it had 40 E. coli per mil to start with, but we knew we'd kill them after we'd heat them in the solar cooker. So we published also on this in the WAPI back in 1999. And another thing which goes along with this, which I want to introduce you to, is how simple microbiology could be by putting together a few components, one with water and one with food. And particularly we're looking for the bacterium Escherichia coli. That's an indicator of fecal pollution. All of us are producing it. It's out in feces, 100 million per gram. It doesn't grow in the environment, so this is the indicator we're looking for. And there have been a couple of enzyme-based tests to find the enzyme that E. coli has that other bacteria do not have that have enabled these tests to be done out in the field. And one of them is the coli lurk here, and one is the peeping Phil. This is my mobile microbiology laboratory. I've got a petri film from the food industry with a spreader. We got a sterile plastic bag. We got a sterile pipette. And we have a coli alert tube, dried ingredients for 10 mils. And this is my mobile microbiology laboratory that you can take any place. And the one test we do is the test that they run in the United States and Europe. This is the way they test the water. I'm going to do it in a 10 mil tube then. And what you do is you're going to take the cap off. You're going to add water then to the 10 mil mark. Carefully put the cap back on without contaminating. Mix it up. And then you've got to find something that's an incubator that's body temperature. Well, out in the field, you got a body, use it. So put it on your body and then incubate it overnight. You've got to do that because you want the bacteria to double about 20 times to get up to millions per mil so you can see something. And afterwards, then you're going to see this. One of three things. Either it's going to be clear, there won't be any bacteria there present, or else you're going to have, there are a number of bacteria, including E. coli, that cause it to turn yellow. And what you need to do then is to shine a battery-operated ultraviolet light on it, and E. coli, with its enzyme, can convert one of the food sources to something that's fluorescent. It can change it then, it gets the sugar away from that, and then the remainder then will fluoresce. So this is a presence-absence test. We know that we've got E. coli in the water, but we don't know how much. So to do quantification, that's really been tough until the food industry said, we're going to develop this very simple petri film to quantitate how much E. coli we have in food. So this is what I use from the food industry. We're going to take this petri film, and this is going to have 1 mil. We're going to measure out carefully just 1 mil, lift up the film, add that 1 mil, put the 1 mil down, use a spreader to distribute the 1 mil over the nutrients there, and then we're ready to incubate. Again, you got a body, put it on your body. I put it in the small of my back. I sleep on it overnight. Because you have to have bacteria divide about 20 times until they get a million per mil, a million cells, and then you can start to see a colony. And then the next morning, you got the result. If E. coli is there, you got a blue colony with a gas bubble. The red colony's gas bubble are ones, bacteria from the environment. We're interested mainly in E. coli. So the petri film on the left shows the water that doesn't have E. coli in it. The one on the right is contaminated. And when you put these two tests together, you go along with WHO and Médecins Sans Frontières assessments of water quality. And if the high risk of disease, if you start to see one E. coli colony per petri film, it's high risk. Greater than 10, you've got a very high risk. And I've had these workshops then. This is in Tanzania with the village chief that we tell about bacteria and how they grow and their size, how we're looking for things. This chief knows it fluoresces, but bacteria came from feces, shouldn't be in water. This village health worker sees those blue dots, they came from feces, shouldn't be in water. Christina and I also compared this method where just using sunshine itself, and when we do this, this is what the water we started with. This is after 5 hours. There's somewhat reduction with sodas, but you still haven't disinfected the thing. We compare it with the cook it, and this is after 4.5 hours with just direct sunshine. After 7 hours, it's still smog positive, E. coli. This is what we do with heat. So we want to take the risk to zero, and that's why we're going to use heat and pasteurization. And what we've done is we've involved then the people in this community to do their own testing of water. This is what the shallow wells look like in the area Margaret showed you at. Everybody has E. coli in the water. And this next one, number 5, comes from rainwater catchment, and that's the only one that doesn't have E. coli in it. Shallow wells are heavily contaminated. This is what a shallow well looks like, and look at the count. Over 10 per mil means it's a high risk. This is very high risk of diseases. And then this is when just walking around the Kutch to visit the solar cooks. This little boy has water from the Awash River. I have my laboratory. I do the test. The next day, I see that that's over 50 E. coli per mil that the boy has taken home. You got to do something about that quickly. I've done things with the water ministry. They have obsolete microbiology, which prevents them from doing serious microbiology. We want to throw out that stuff in the left, put them in a museum, and show them how to do some modern microbiology, this enzyme-based test. And here's a contaminated sample from Kisumu. Here's from the city. And just 2 weeks ago then, I was there again having the workshop with the Water Resources Management Association, showing them how they could do serious testing. Faustine Odaba goes with me. She's the world's expert on solar cooking. So we will not only do microbiology, but we'll also do solar cooking and teach people then how you can have this cell phone equivalent in microbiology to do various serious things. You've seen the problems about wood, and our problem in Nacogdoches is that this is where I was just 2 weeks ago. But Margaret, this is Dina Chenjo in charge of our project, and this is what they got for wood. Margaret showed you this, 10 shillings for that. Let me show you what 30 shillings will buy. You need three bundles of wood, or you need a thing of charcoal to do that. So I bought all these things. And if they could save that money, 30 shillings, they could have bought 5 eggs or 6 tomatoes or a half a kilogram of rice, a bunch of bananas, a kilogram of white potatoes, a loaf of bread and greens, 3 ears of corn, a kilogram of their ugali flour, or the cabbage and 2 onions. So these are the women that I worked with then for the last 4 years, and just a couple weeks ago we've had them do the water testing and water pasteurization. And if you can read that, that means pasteurized water in Luo, okay? And that's what they advertise. And when I was there just a week ago then, they're also showing me they can do those tests, they can sample the water, and pasteurization is going along with cooking in the Koch with the WAFI that they have. We've got the before and after, and that combination is a very serious thing. And as my time's out, I'll just show you the sign that leads to where Margaret will be at in a week from now. And our most recent project then is in the Caggiato with the Maasai and their characteristic dress, which is so interesting. But take a look at the new things that they also are sporting over here. That and a solar cooker hat. So thank you very much. And thank you.
Would you now ask some time to take some questions or comments from other participants in the audience? Can you please raise your hand up and a microphone to you?
This is a question for Dr. Mancash. Where I work in Southern Mexico, there are various groups that are promoting the contaminants of water by using plastic jars or plastic bottles of water and studying the sun, not the photos of the studying the sun that never out. And I have a very question about whether that really does it and I do not have that.
I showed you perhaps very quickly, there were just two photos in there of the solar disinfection method, and the problem with that is there's no endpoint. And also when you do monitor, I'm just monitoring bacteria. I've had a graduate student, we've looked at rotavirus, they're even more resistant to sun, direct sunshine. So if you got sunshine, let's take it to heat, we're just going to get it to 65, let's take the risk to zero. And then, and you can do that in a solar cooker. I wouldn't drink that the water that we had there that's just been sodas disinfected. And because of the inability to simply test water afterwards out in the field, people haven't done the follow-up microbiology. When I've done it here, it hasn't gotten things pasteurized. So I want to take the risk to zero. Heat will do it. Any of you that are doing cooking, your cooking is going to take it to zero. Let's use that heat and promote that type. No end point that there's with a WAFI, we know we've gotten to 65, we're gone. You don't know how much sunshine you've got, with how many bacteria, how many viruses, and whether everything's been inactivated. And if you're just measuring bacteria, you might be measuring something that gets killed off quicker than protozoan cysts or viruses, and those two have a very low infective dose. So I want to take it to heat and take the risk to zero.
Any other questions?
Microphone. I want to ask about the important thing. What is the size for one cooker or one family?
Well, I think in India, there is like 10,000 rupees, which is about 2,500 rupees, that's euros, right?
But for Legionella?
Legionella.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. The question is about Legionella, and you don't get sick from Legionella for drinking it. I have to check the D values on it, so you get that kind of by aerosolization. But, I also have a handout on this, and there's a website you could get to see a PowerPoint presentation of this, if any of you would like that. Thank you. Okay, the website is www.imageevent.com/Bob Metcalf, and it's on this handout if you want to get it.
Thank you.
Okay, and tomorrow at 1 o'clock I have a little workshop about how to do it.
Well,
Well, in my experience, it has been unable to inactivate bacteria. And when I've had it, and I had a student that we did rotavirus. We only did it 3 hours, but bacteria getting some inactivation, and rotavirus we get none. I'm going to have another friend who's going to be doing more rotavirus. But you never know how long you had it out there, what the turbidity is.
Every day comes by, you don't know how much sunlight you have.
2 days of the
But they
well,
never measured it after they've...
And when there's some published literature about SOTUS that trying it out in Haiti, for instance, well, after 1 day it didn't work, so maybe we go to 2 days. And they've got some, they've even got, the Swiss group even has its own data about how much tougher it is to kill off viruses. And so they're perhaps thinking of 2 days. Why fool with it?
Either or, I just want to see if there's room for both. Because other will reach more people. We can still promote the water.
Well, if you want to promote it, then you have to tell people it might make the water less of a risk to drink, but it might not. We don't know. We don't know any time. We can't do all the testing on it. You got to be honest about it. I mean, this is, for science, you got to say, we don't know. And it might. If you have bacteria that are causing diseases like typhoid, and you let it out there 6 hours, then okay. But if it's rotaviruses, then you're probably not getting them at all. And if you have some turbidity, you don't even know. I was disappointed with 6 hours there at equatorial sunshine and not even killing them off. So, but you can do the test. You know, you get this, if you get one of these kits, you could go ahead and you could monitor the test, just like I've done, and you could see for yourself. I want to take it to zero. And that's, you know, take it to zero.
Let's talk about what we're doing.
Yeah. Okay, I'll do that.
Thank you.